Well, Gary, what are we doing this week?
Well, Cole, I have taken the liberty of entering us into a contest.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's this mystery. I'll draw your attention here to this white label Atari game. And, you know, we play it. And whoever gets the highest score gets a king's riches of scepters and thrones.
Ooh, cool. Can I melt them down?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Whoever gets the lowest score in it has to play a bad game.
Okay. So in addition to the one that we're playing at now?
Yes.
Does this assume the game we're playing to win this is good?
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. It's a white label game.
Okay.
It looks like I bought it from Jewel Osco, and it just says game.
Okay.
Like Jewel Osco brand gin or beer.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to pop it into my trusty 2600.
All right.
Here. Yeah. Wood paneling, very beautiful.
Yeah.
And
smells
it
like
on.
Lemon pledge. Okay.
Yeah, I've been pledging it up. I don't clean, Cole. So it's in here, and flip the mode button, press the player button, flip the toggle switch. There's like seven different ways to turn on an Atari.
While you're over there, can you reset player B?
Yeah, you reset player B and then set the 43D3, and then so now that it's on. Here, there's some big block lettering. Let me see what it says here. Thank you for entering the Atari Quest contest. We have shut down due to it being 30 years later. Enjoy your complimentary copy of Sword Quest Earthworld.
Fuck.
A scepter.
I was like, really counting on
buy
that.
One.
I was Gary, I had loans. Gary, the federal government's gonna break my knees.
I loaned one of my friends my scepter. He never gave it back, and now I'm scepterless.
Man, what are you supposed to wave?
I don't know.
What are you supposed to bury in a chest?
Fuck.
Okay, Gary, can you explain to me the difference between a wand, a scepter, and a staff?
A staff is longer.
Okay.
I think I can. Yeah, no problem. A staff is like 6 feet long.
Okay.
A wand is like 9 inches long, and a scepter is like, you know, a foot and a half or so.
Okay. Can you explain to me the difference between a falchion, a scimitar, and a cutlass?
Nope.
Okay. What about a saber, a rapier?
Well, a saber is different than a rapier. Saber is more like a falchion.
Okay.
But I can't tell the difference between a rapier, an estoc, and an EP.
Mm.
That I cannot do.
Yeah. Huh. Can you tell me the difference between ebullience, enthusiasm, and indefatigability?
Yeah. I can tell you the difference between the indefatigability is like, to me, that implies like more like perseverance in the face of something as opposed to just like untarnished enthusiasm.
Okay.
Ebullience and enthusiasm also, this is just an instinct. I don't know if this is actually true, but feels like it is in reference to a thing. Like you are enthusiastic about a thing, but ebullience can be like a general, like I'm just ebullient.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's actually true, though. Yeah. That could be pulling out of my ass.
Yeah.
Who are you?
My name is Cole Ross.
Okay. This is Gary Butterfield and Abject Suffering and Bad Games.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yep, and this week it's Sword Quest.
Can you tell me the difference between Earthworld, Waterworld, Airworld, and Fireworld?
Well, two of them came out.
I thought three did.
Two of them came out. One of them came out at just through the Atari Fun Club or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then one of them never came out. And they're all based on different spiritual, astrological nonsense.
Yep.
So Earthworld's based on the Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this game is? A really good illustration of?
How transmedia campaigns are fucking bullshit?
No.
Okay.
No, even though that's true. But this is an example of how important it is to know the limitations of what you're doing or like your hardware before you make a thing. Like this is weirdly, like, this game itself and all the stuff, the transmedia campaign stuff, which we'll talk about at length. But the game itself is just, like, way too ambitious for Atari, so much so that the platform just doesn't support it. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing makes sense.
Yeah. Like, it does one neat trick, I guess, which is that weird perspective, like walking down a hallway.
Yeah.
Animation. But everything else is like,
of what? Like, oh. I never knew what I was doing or why I would go, and I would like figure out the inventory thing, but I didn't know there were supposed to be puzzles where you're supposed to place certain objects, but all the objects look like garbage and there's nothing to show why one object would be in one room versus another.
Right.
Unless you figured it out. Like, did you?
Oh God, you know, no. And so I was playing it and I was like, okay, this is a baffling ordeal as much of life is. And something that I kind of get annoyed with, you know, in myself. And when I hear other people talk about older games, like, lol, what's up with this? Like, well, no, the answer is probably in the manual. So I was like, in the half hour that I have budgeted for this to cut out of my life so I can, you know, prepare for this show that people listen to, I will download a copy of the manual and read that and hopefully interpret it. And hopefully this will make a lick more sense. Mm-hmm. And the answer is no.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Like even then, even looking at it, it's like, am I picking stuff up? Am I putting it down?
Yeah. Did you, if you read it, like the fourth game that was supposed to come out was supposed to have, like, based on the room you were randomly supposed to be either capturing enemies or running away from them or picking up stuff or putting it down. So it'd be random just to make it a real kick in the fucking balls. Like, ugh.
As if this wasn't just random enough.
Yeah. This makes no goddamn sense as an anything.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea what I was supposed to do. Like, every once in a while, I get to play this little mini game, and then I would get to a certain room, and numbers would flash up on the screen. Mm-hmm. And then, like, doing research, I figured out what those were. But obviously, I don't have the comics that came with it.
Yeah, I couldn't even find any, like, on a search.
No, me either. Like, I found some images, but that's it. Like, no actual, like, just PDFs of them to play along.
Yeah.
The comics, kind of weirdly, like, kind of all-star things. Like, they're, you know, DC made them, and they're Roy Thomas, who is a decent writer for that era. Like, he's actually pretty good, wrote like a bunch of good Avenger stuff. And then drawn and inked by George Perez and Dick Giordano, who I don't know who is, but George Perez is great. Like, this at the time this came out, these guys were huge.
Yeah,
like, this would have been a really high profile comic,
like top of their game.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was before the crash, right? Like, the last one stopped, you know, like they ceased development of the last one right when like everything started falling apart. So
the series is really illustrative of the crash.
Yeah.
Like, looking at the Sword Quest games, like, really kind of explains everything you need to know about, like, Atari hubris and why that was unsustainable.
Yeah. It's bizarre to me that this is first party.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Like, just I generally associate Atari from this era with, you know, actually probably games that were more well suited to their hardware than this, like, aside from the Pac-Man and whatever other low bad game thing you want to bring up, right
and even Pac-Man is more sensible than this.
Yeah,
even shitty Atari Pac-Man, like, the worst part about that is it doesn't look or like feel exactly like Pac-Man, but it's still a game.
Exactly.
This it just doesn't make any sense without all this extra outside stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, none of which is available now. And even then, like, I could just see being a huge pain in the ass. Yeah.
And even then, the parts of this that feel like a game, that, like, that actually present a challenge to you, that is not just put down an item and pick it back up, like this is Resident Evil Zero or something, they don't function, actually. Yeah. Like, the little mini games, I never beat a single one of them.
I crossed the Frogger one. Like, the one that's, like, the roads.
Oh, yeah, with the, like, beams. The laser frog.
Yeah, laser froggers.
Yep, I kept getting fucked up with that because the beams, like, disappear underneath you.
Yeah, it's weird. There's, like, a weird perspective to it that doesn't work. That just speaks to, like, the over, you know, too much ambition. Like, it reminds me of E.T., which, like, that's a, you know, a real lol bad game. But really, that's not nearly as – it's just not suited to the software or the hardware. Like, that's a kind of an ambitious, neat game that – has a bad reputation because it's inscrutable, and this could easily just have the exact same thing,
right?
You know, like, this is as bad and as inscrutable as E.T.
What's even crazier about this to me is that there is, like, an overarching story to all of this that is like the worst Tolkien light, like, Discworld Wheel of Time, like it's two twins and they're running from evil overlords who have witch
King Tyrannus.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice guy.
the witch monarch King Tyrannus and the five stones of the zodiac.
And the king's wizard Conjuro.
I forgot about Conjuro.
Never forget about Conjuro.
What do you think he does?
His friend Evoco and his other friend Divinicius.
Yep.
It's all the schools of Dungeons and Dragons magic.
Yep. Lucius?
Yeah, Lucius. Lucius Fox.
Hi.
Hello, Batman.
What voice was that?
This is my spot on Morgan Freeman impersonation. As previously established, it's not inherently racist to impersonate someone who's black.
I know.
As long as you do it respectfully,
yep,
and perfectly, which is, I think that I do both of those consistently.
See our Shaq episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite all right.
can you do Shaq saying hello?
Hello. That's just everyone saying hello. But this, so we should talk about this contest because I guarantee there are people listening to this who don't know anything about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not famous, and it seems like it could be. Like, I almost want to fund a Kickstarter for a documentary about this thing because it is fascinating. Like, this has, you know, this is like one of the better backstories for a game we've done on the show. Like, not the best backstory, but like, this is up there.
It's no Spellcraft.
It is no Spellcraft.
It's no Tale of Unrequited Love.
It's pretty amazing though. Mm-hmm. So Atari held this contest where they released these games, and like they were never supposed to just be like, we're just playing them to try to have a fun game, but they were never supposed to be that. They were supposed to be these riddles that you made out and using the game and, you know, doing these logic, quote unquote, logic puzzles, and then looking up words in the comic, you'd find hidden words and send these sentences to Atari. And if you did it correctly, you get a chance to win prizes that are mind-blowing at this point for, like, a video game company giving them away. Like, now it's like, oh, get a shirt with the name of the game on the back. You know, like, I can't remember. Like, what was the last, like, profile, like, high-profile contest that you actually got something neat of value?
Advent Rising.
What did you get?
Oh, no. Like, I'm just saying, like, in video game history, that was the last one. And they never even handed that prize out. Actually,
okay,
yeah,
do you remember what it was?
It was $1 million.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like they promised $1 million, but they also promised that would be a trilogy. And the game didn't make enough money back for them to actually hold that.
It's almost as if making these gigantic promises of money outside your budget is a bad idea before you actually, you know, get the game out and everything.
Wait a minute, Gary, are you saying that in order to I have to make the money before I can spend it?
Yeah, and you have to make the game good before you can get people to...
They won't give you the money if the game isn't good.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's true. Crash.
and scene.
Atari Crash. This is our two-act play. Our two-person, two-man play. The
It was my dinner at Bushnell's.
Yeah, it's just crazy though. It's a lot of stuff that you're getting because the each individual game when you won, you got, and it wasn't just money. Like, you got $25,000 worth of jewelry.
Yeah,
like the people who beat this game. Mm-hmm. There's eight people who did it. The one who won the contest got $25,000. The Talisman of Penultimate Truth.
Yeah, which it's not the Talisman of Ultimate Truth. I mean,
well, yeah, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And then a small sword made of white gold. Or that was on the talisman, actually. Okay. So, because a sword was the final prize.
Yeah. And dude melted it down.
Yep.
As you obviously would.
Well, it's kind of the guy who won the Fire World one got a chalice that he kept.
Oh, wow.
Like, who's in a position to, like, win a $25,000 video game chalice and just be like, I don't need that money.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have this Fire World chalice.
This just, you know, it symbolizes the investment that I made. It is a major award that shows my prowess at solving Atari puzzles.
Yeah, I guess. Who's this weirdo? Like, he did an interview. I need to find this interview with that guy who won the chalice and has not melted it down.
passes it down as like a nest egg for his kids.
His last name was Rideout.
Rideout.
Right, Michael Rideout.
Nice.
Yeah, Michael Rideout just rocking the chalice. Even though, to be fair, if like, I don't know how safe it would be, but how awesome it would be to drink out of that at parties.
Oh, yeah, I would do
like
that.
Like, you have the chalice of light.
I mean, it's, you know? Gold is not going to depreciate in value, Gary. You can hold on to that for like a couple of months.
Yeah.
Like, just over the holidays, just go up, see your family, just go to the old bar by your high school, and just tell everybody to fuck off.
Yeah. And then get beat to death.
But with your own chalice.
For your own chalice. But holding on to it for 30 years, like, just what kind of blessed life does this guy have that he couldn't just use, you know, $25,000 of fun money?
Well, I mean, that is actually it's a very good question, because right now, if he took that and melted it down and sold it, $25,000 from 1982 is $62,000 in 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have no idea what the price of gold has done since then. I will venture a guess to say that it has probably increased thanks to Glenn Beck.
Yeah. That's and also how we should probably get back on the gold standard.
I know, right?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Follow the Olympic road.
Thanks, Ebola.
Thanks, Mick Obama's sad shack.
Thank you, Woodrow Wilson.
And then the third one, you're supposed to get this crown of life, which again, encrusted with jewels, $25,000. Fourth one, you're supposed to get the Philosopher's Stone, encrusted with jewels. And then if you won all of them, you get a $50,000 sword of pure silver called the Sword of Ultimate Sorcery.
Yeah.
Like that's, I don't know. It's kind of badass. Like I really want all of those objects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of cool. Like, it is just, it's an interesting story. And the idea of, like, people, like, just sitting down trying to figure out this esoteric bullshit to get these actual, you know, real-life money prizes that sound like they're from Mazes of Monsters. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, oh, my gosh, I know people have read this. Have you Ready Player One?
No, I have it. I've started reading it, but I haven't finished it.
Yeah, it seems to be cut from a similar cloth, which is we're going to put out this crazy bullshit and have you solve it, you know, for untold riches. Like it seems so like 80s to me.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine how much cocaine, like everybody at Atari was high as balls all the time, but how much cocaine was like flowing around those boardrooms as they were saying, and it's the talisman of penultimate truth.
Sex and coke D&D parties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all night long.
Like, and we're saying that like, oh, for shame. I would give anything for that.
if you could work like at Atari from like 1976 to 1979.
Oh yeah.
Like that would be.
Yeah. Just write it out until your ticker gave. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. If there was a real if the Make-A-Wish Foundation was real, as opposed to being what we all know it is, then that would totally be what my wish was.
Yeah.
If I became a leukemia guy.
If you became a guy of leukemia.
Yeah.
What is your wish, Gary?
Well, my wish would be to work for Atari from 1976 to 1979.
It is so. Boom,
boom, boom, boom. Like, place your hand, your palm upon the crystal ball of penultimate truth. Yep.
The wish orb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But there are literally people just like fucking in the halls. And the crazy thing about video, I like read a book about video game history. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it had it was talking about the Atari days, and then they also had a chapter about the Sierra days, and the Sierra days were like that too. Like, can you imagine like stuffy old, you know, Sierra people, like just people just fucking in the copy room at Sierra, like while making King's Quest 2?
Oh my God.
It's just crazy.
Gary, like given the option, I would want to be at Sierra.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You wouldn't have to deal with like Bushnell, like freaking out and challenging everyone in knife fights and shit. But like Sierra, I'd be like,
Bushnell ripping out his own fillings.
Yeah. Like if you worked at Sierra at that time and you were at least a half decent guy, I bet you'd have a chance to like get invited to a threesome with the Williams.
Huh.
And like, I
don't know how I feel about that, but I'm intrigued at the very
like,
least.
At the very least, like this is all kind of positing a Make-A-Wish Foundation or time travel thing. Like,
yeah.
Then if those were my bosses, I was just making video games, I'd be weirded out by it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like now, but if I could go back in time now and do it, like how amazing would it be if like I travel back in time, have a threesome with the Williams, and then I'm like, Cole, we got to do King's Quest 2 for Watch Out for Fireballs. And you're like, why? It's an awful game. I'm like, no. I got a story. We got to do King's Quest 2 for Watch Out for Fireballs, man. Trust me on this.
you took a camcorder back, but on the return trip, it turned into a Betamax. Damn it. All of my tech aged. I'm not even like a guy for like drugs and random sex, but like, I don't know. I think I could learn.
Yeah. Well, some of the grossness in the industry now, I think, is trying to recapture some of that spirit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get your, what is it? What's the name of that video game company that its name is like Cocky Dick Dick or something like that?
Gamecock.
Yeah, you get into that kind of stuff. And I think it's like trying to be like, oh, remember video games used to be fun and about blowjobs? And like, they're trying to get that back and it just is gone. Like, nothing is about that anymore.
Yeah.
The only industry that is about blowjobs now is the pornography and prostitution industries.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. I mean, isn't that what Silicon Valley is too?
Yeah, kind of. Except like, not just like a, like ego blowjobs.
Yeah,
like it's just you know it's just about hating poor people as a means for sexual satisfaction.
Yeah. Now I'm depressed.
Yeah. Well, it's really easy to get depressed thinking about Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
San Francisco is a depressing place. Hmm. There's what is that? There's like the guy who like in the interview is like, it's like Tinder without the poor people. Jeez, buddy. That doesn't make you come off real well. Venture capitalist piece of shit.
Man. Yeah. I don't know. I think there is a pure expression of that probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh well.
Yeah. So we're rid of Williams. on the cover of that soft porn adventure, like not bad looking lady.
No.
And we know that she's into some freaky deaky shit because she made Phantasmagoria.
True, yeah. No, she'll like shovel dirt into my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. So
why is your voice so deep, Robert?
Shoulder to my mouth. We don't know. I don't think. I mean, I was just about to say that like nobody knows what her voice is. Like, there's no footage of her or anything like that. This is from before the time of audio recording.
Yeah.
So her voice could have been like that.
All the Earhart. All we have are the tales recorded in the spheres.
All we have is like black and white footage with like little title cards. Ding 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 ding. I believe I shall create an adventure game. Ding 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 ding. But yeah.
How are we doing on time, Gary?
Oh, I don't know. We're probably good.
Yeah, we're probably.
I don't have anything. I have nothing to say about SwordQuest.
No, it's so slight, and I just. Yeah. You know, maybe the manual was useless just because of its nature, right? As a puzzle. Yeah. Bang stuff together until something happens.
There's a certain contingent of people who appreciate that kind of like masochism.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm not that person.
Well, like puzzle hunt kind of stuff. You mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not me.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's for somebody. So that's great.
Yeah. So it makes somebody happy. So bully.
Yeah, bully for them.
Yeah.
Who suggested this?
This was suggested by Alan Alstrom. Thank you, Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
No, thanks, Alan. This is at least is an interesting story behind this game, even though the game itself. I wonder if Alan was like, I don't know how old Alan is. I wonder if he like played this at the time. And
maybe Alan has the chalice.
That would be amazing. Like,
guys, I have a story for you.
Yeah, that would be. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I would almost just want to talk to anybody who lived through this, like just even the marketing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or like having a friend who is trying to get it like is interesting. I really feel like there's like this is fertile ground.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should do a documentary about this.
Yeah.
So what are we doing next time, Cole?
Well, Gary, I done fucked up.
Yep.
Yep. And so originally on the docket, it was supposed to be Jackie Chan's action kung fu. Yep. Except I played the game that was on after that. Athena, you played Jackie Chan's action kung fu.
And because we don't care, we're going to go forward anyway and just talk about both those games. And Cole's going to tell me about Athena. I'm going to tell him about Jackie Chan's Action Kung Fu.
Cool.
Let's see how it goes.
All the world is a stage.
It might go okay.
It might be. It'll be fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to help out the show, rate and review us on iTunes, head to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. Kick us a couple bucks a month. That's why we do the show every week.
Yeah.
And yeah, check out the other stuff on the site.
And tell a friend. If you know anybody who likes games or weird comedy, I don't know what this is anymore, let them know about us, because that is a way that we grow.
Indeed. Yeah. And you'd like us to grow.
Yeah.
So until next time, what should they watch out for?
They should watch out for Sword Quest, lest this Earth world be sundered.
Mm-hmm.